What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Between the Tackles. That's right. You hear my voice. I'm back in the saddle, baby. Burge here once again with my nemesis, Hogan. Thanks for filling in last week, buddy, in my absence. How are you doing today?
I'm not bad. I'd say I'm glad you're back, but that'd be a lie. But I caught you there. You almost said the wrong title, too. That was funny. I was wondering if you were going to catch that. You had to slow it down, though. You're not. Oh, it was one to be like the break. Between the tackles.
I said it that way because I was not here last week when you announced our lovely name change.
That's right. That's
between
right.
Between the tackles. That's why I said it like that.
Okay. All right. That's fine. You can say it however you want. I know the reality, but that's completely fine. You do you. But yeah, no, I'm glad to have you back, man. It's always good to talk shit and have fun with football stuff with you on here. So I know Manish missed you last week, but we had a good old time talking about the NFC South, and he put me in my place and told me how dumb I was plenty of times. So he filled in nicely for you. Let's put it that way. So
good.
No, he didn't, but that's okay.
Yeah. I do want to give a shout out to Manish once again. Great guest of the podcast. Really bummed I wasn't here to chat with him last week, but you know, he's going to be back on with us again in short order. He's a big friend of the pod. So yeah, shout out Manish. Thanks again. And looking forward to our next conversation with you. It is good to finally be on Between the Tackles, right? For me anyways.
Right. Yeah. It's been a minute for you. Yeah, exactly. I'm a regular at this point. It's like you're almost becoming like a guest appearance whenever you're able to get off your crazy work schedule. That's what's going on with you. But how you doing though, man? How you doing? We're talking about how good I am. How you been?
Yeah, I'm living the dream, man. Man, just working a lot, just, you know, going through the motions with the kids. I told you, and I'm going to tell all our listeners out there, it's not fun being by yourself with three little kids, and one of them decides to shit their pants in the car and have it come out their diaper.
Nope.
It was a disaster. I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, boy, how am I going to handle this? It's 95 degrees out. I can't leave the other two in the car while I go try to clean this up. Had to just do it, man. It was awful. I had to give the kid a bath. It was all over his face. It was everywhere. My truck smelled for a little bit until I cleaned it out. It was,
My God.
Yeah. So that was a fun battle. First time that's happened to me without my wife being home and present for that. So that was an interesting experience. But other than that, you know, I mean, that day she was gone for the day, and I took them to, you know, Mines Falls, the park, took him for a walk around, had a blast with him. My son trying to jump in the river to see the fishies, and I'm like having to corral the kid. I'm like, dude, that water's disgusting. You don't want to go in there, man.
Oh, no.
Not the river part, the canal part, the old canal part. Just stagnant water.
He could jump in there and he'd be growing an extra arm or leg coming out of that water. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that. But yeah. No, you're not doing yourself any favors in trying to convince me to have kids with telling me stories like that. So I'll let you enjoy that aspect of life, and I'll enjoy being the dink over here on this side, the double income, no kids. So I will proudly represent that community with what I've got going on. The biggest kid I got in my life right now is a dog passed out in the bed. Hopefully he stays passed out for this podcast, but he does like to make his appearance barking every once in a while. So if you hear the barks, Maverick saying hi.
But I'll just say, man, I got a great story for that little guy when he brings his first girlfriend home.
Oh, hey, excellent.
You shit all over my car. You remember that? You remember that? I should have taken pictures of it so I could be like, yeah, here, look at my phone here in 20 years. Look at my phone.
Perfect. Perfect. I'm sure he would have been over the moon to hear you do that to him. That would have been great.
Oh, man. Yeah. So that's been my week working. Shit filled. So
super fun.
What do you say? You want to start talking some football?
Let's do it. No agenda today. I think that's how we're rocking this podcast. So let's get into it. What do we I don't think there's much news going on, but what do you want to jump into?
Let's just start off by saying we are a mere couple weeks away from NFL training camps opening up again.
Let's go.
It's coming. The season is coming. The fall is coming. NFL football is that close to us. It's always like the longest period of time too, when you're like, training camp starts, you're like, all right, now I got my fix. now I'm ready for the real game to start. I still got to wait a month and a half to get.
I don't care. There. I don't care. Preseason. I am one of those people that I literally sit down with like a tub of popcorn and I'll watch the Hall of Fame game and I won't know a single player on that field. And I don't give two shits. I consider it NFL football because I got NFL jerseys on and there's coaches and they're playing. And I'm like, you know what? This is football and this is what I need. So I absolutely cannot wait for training camp, preseason, all of it. Give me all of it because this is, for me personally, this is the worst time of the year. This is just the dead period between, you know, July and August where there's no, I mean, there's baseball. There's literally baseball. And it's just, there's nothing else. And it's hot and it's gross. And I'm a fatty and I don't do well in this weather. So I can't handle this right now. I need it to be cool. I need it to be sweatshirt weather. And we just need to get the football season. That's just what I need at this point.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm kind of usually ready for the July, August break from sports. Cause I'm so heavily into it year round. It's a nice little break, especially to get outside. I like being in my yard, doing yard work and stuff, going to the beach. I'm not a huge beach guy.
Yeah,
I enjoy it like once or twice a year. That's about it for me. I'm not one that likes to just go and sit there and do nothing on the beach all day. And now if I go, I'm going to have to be corralling kids repeatedly from the rip tides in the ocean and having my guard up as opposed to just being able to lay there and chill. So, but no, I'm like you, man. That Hall of Fame game comes around, I'll be sitting down watching that game as well. As the preseason gets into the middle and I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's move this along. Let's get to some real football, some regular season games that count. Towards the end of it, I start to teeter off with my interest in preseason football. Usually I get my fix in the first Patriots game. And then I'm like, all right, I'll watch the first quarter of the next one. And then that's about it.
At least they're making the preseason shorter because there's only three games now as opposed to the regular four. And then, you know, Goodell, good old dictator Goodell, if he gets his way, it's going to be probably two preseason games and 18 games before you know it, because it's only a matter of time before they make that announcement, because it's just all about the moolah. So,
oh yeah, you know how it goes with that, with him, with all that. It's it is what it is. But hey, we get more of the football. But speaking of more games, did you guys see what Joe Burrow said on Pardon My Take this week about his ideas for 18 game schedule?
Yeah, where it's something like the bye week like lands perfectly, like everybody has the same bye week in what, like week 13 or something.
That's where they do the Pro Bowl.
With Pro Bowl, and then everybody has the day off after the Super Bowl for President's Day or whatever.
Make that man the commissioner of the NFL. That would be an outstanding solution.
Yeah.
It would bring the Pro Bowl back to relevance because you're getting it in the middle of the season versus, you know, a time at the end of the season where nobody really cares. Obviously, you got to consider injuries possible and all that for the product. Yeah. But you're getting an all-star kind of spectacular in the middle of the season, similar to what the rest of the professional sports do, baseball, hockey, and basketball. They all do it in the middle of the season where they have a break, an all-star break in the middle of the season. And then having the day off after the Super Bowl, I think that's something that we've all been just calling for since we started watching football. Let's be real. When we wanted to have the day off from school, or we wanted to have the day off from work the next day. Like, it seems like it makes perfect sense. And the NFL gets what they want. They get 18 games out of the whole deal. It just seems to make, like, a lot of sense. It seems to make a lot of sense. It will never happen. I'm not convinced it'll ever happen because it wasn't Roger Goodell's idea and, you know, this and that. So, but it was a very interesting to see an actual active NFL player come out and say, let's add an 18th game and here's how we're going to do it. I actually have a legitimate plan to be able to do it.
Well, the big thing you got to think of at the end of the day, too, is a lot of these players are also fans of the sport. You know what I mean? Like, it's how many times did they highlight Brady or Rodgers or other quarterbacks that would have a bye week, and then they take a picture of themselves watching Red Zone and they'd send it to like Scott Hansen. And then I'm sitting there watching Red Zone. It's like, oh, look, we got Brady watching the show. Hi, Brady. Like, it's his 1 week off from football. Like, anyone else on the planet would like want to be 10 miles away from their job. And it's like, these guys are just that obsessed with it. So it's like, at the end of the day, it makes sense because Burrow's a fan as well. You know, he plays the sport, but he's like, hey, this would make sense as a fan. Why not do it while I'm playing the sport as well? So
and most of the players would get 2 weeks off because it'd be two bye weeks, that one common one, and then you'd still get the one you get now. That's kind of scattered throughout the year.
I mean, the big problem I still see with the NFL at this juncture, I would say, is the whole scheduling with the Thursday night games, because I think they royally screwed the pooch with that, where they started making that a year-round thing from like week one all the way through week 17 now, I think that they do it. Mm-hmm. Where I remember when they first initiated that, it was like Thanksgiving and on was when they would do the Thursday night games. And it wasn't terrible because it was only like a couple teams had to either A, put up with it, or it would give them that extended time off almost where they played the Thursday and then they wouldn't have to worry about till the next Sunday. So it's like you relish that depending on when it came off of your bye week or everything else. But like I said, the fact that it just started from week one now, where it's just, you see too many teams that only get the 4 days off between Sunday and Thursday, or they I forget if I think it was the Patriots or somebody else had to play some insane schedule a couple of years ago or last year, whatever.
COVID. I'm pretty sure that was like for COVID though. That was well, because of game cancellations and postponements because of COVID.
Yeah, but still, like I'm talking about, like you even look at the international games, right? It's like they used to be able to schedule those international games where a team could travel during their bye week to make it like less of a headache when they actually get there, get rid of the jet lag, get rid of everything else. Now it's like you see teams that go over internationally, their bye week's already been 3 weeks gone, or it's not for another 7 weeks or whatever. And it's like, okay, you're telling these guys to play their best performance at like a ridiculous time zone that their bodies aren't used to, and then fly back over to the States, sometimes flying from like there to California and then back to the Northeast, back to the West Coast. And it's just, I feel like a lot of times especially football, because it's such a physically demanding sport, the way that it's played, it's very difficult to just transition, like snap your fingers and be like, okay, go. Where like, I don't know. And not to take anything away from other sports. Like I think the travel is a huge part of it, but it's just, it's a different beast, I feel like, when it comes to that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just
full of crap. Trying to do that as a normal person that works.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a massive toll on your body, like in your mind. Like I can't imagine, 100 times or exponentially worse for a professional athlete that goes out there, has to practice over there, and then has to go play a physically demanding 60 minutes of football, and then has to travel all the way back and basically 2 days later be doing the same thing again, like it never happened. And I can imagine that obviously all plays a part into the whole thing too. And as great for fans as we'd love to see it, I doubt the union would ever agree to it. The players union. Yeah. I mean, they've given up so much as it is. It's like, dude, I mean, who knows? Money talks. So if the owners are like, hey, we're going to pay more, our salary cap's going to go higher and higher and higher as a result of this, who knows? Those guys are probably like, I got a short window to make this big money. Why not just suffer for a couple of 10 years, you know, for the good guys? Like, why not?
True. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I just look at it too, is like, you see how many players complain when they just go to Colorado for a game, like Denver, or like the elevation there, right? Like, they're complaining about just traveling within the States alone. And then you're like the whole international thing, personally, not to go on a little rant here, but I'm very concerned going forward, anything internationally with the NFL that's not Mexico or Canada, because you're just entering such uncharted territories with putting a team in London, you're putting a team in Germany, you're putting a team like, because they're playing at all these stadiums over there where they had didn't the Patriots go to Frankfurt last year with Germany, and then they're playing the Jaguars in London this year. So it's like if they establish a couple teams over there, how is that going to work traveling for both the teams that are there, the salary for those guys and everything? It's just so much like convoluted. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't even understand how it works with baseball, with hockey and all that, where they got, you know, teams up in Canada and whatnot, but it's just, I don't know. I think it's going to get messy really quickly if they try to pull that off. And I don't think, like you said, the union will probably be like, no, there's no way we can make this work. But at the end of the day, money talks. So, I mean, you give me a couple of million dollars and tell me to go play in Germany, I'm going to be like, well, okay, let me learn some German and go chug some beer over at Oktoberfest. Let's do this.
Well, not to burst your bubble, but it's probably already in the works at this point. It's probably already in the works. We're probably still years away from it happening, but I can guarantee you the NFL is working on establishing at least a team in London at this point, at least a team in London. The other international destinations are probably, it's too new to really establish that. But I mean, you see the kind of attendance that they get at these games. It's insane. The place fills out and it's just fans of the game. They're not necessarily fans of the two teams. Imagine if they had a team, you know, over there, what the turnout would be, filling these soccer sized stadiums, which hold a hell of a lot more people than NFL stadiums. I think it's pretty significant. And imagine getting those crowds. If they had a real team over there and you get those, like the soccer hooligan crowds out there, I bet you'd be the best crowds in the game. It'd be the best crowds of the game. Be the best crowds of the game. Absolutely.
What was it? Family Guy, the London Silly Nannies, when Peter Griffin played for the Patriots for a little bit and then they traded him over there. The London Silly Nannies. If London gets a team and they're not called the Silly Nannies, then they missed out on a gigantic opportunity. But I guess my question is, if you're saying that they're going to be the best fans over there, does that mean that Bills Mafia gets dethroned? Is that what happens?
They'd have to be thrown to begin with.
Ooh, shots fired.
Just because they jump through tables does not make them the best fan base in the NFL. All right. Yeah, they're loyal. I'll give them that. They are loyal to their team. But get out of here with that.
The Mafia, though. Come on. Bills Mafia. We don't even have... What are we, Pats Nation or Pats fans?
I'm not comparing the two. I'm not comparing the two right now.
I'm just saying... I know it gets you hot and bothered. That's why I like
Bills fans are more loyal than Patriots fans. That's easily said. Well, I mean, how many people have jumped off the bandwagon since everything kind of went down over the last five
years? Everybody left when Brady left. I think I was the only Patriots fan left in New England.
Who? Me?
You still watch Brady when he was in Tampa.
No, I was adamantly against that whole thing, man. I didn't want him to win that Super Bowl. That was one of the most unenjoyable Super Bowls for me to watch. I had to pick between Brady on a new team the year after he left the Patriots, or I had to pick Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes.
I rooted for the refs. That was my team that day. I was like, go Zebras. Anytime there was a penalty call, I was like, good call.
At the end of the day, if somebody put a gun to my head, I was rooting for Brady. That's easy. That's an easy choice. Somebody put a gun to your head and said, you have to pick Kansas City or Tampa Bay in that Super Bowl. You're lying to yourself if you're saying you were rooting for Kansas City. You're lying to yourself.
I'd ask how many bullets are in the chamber so I know if I'm in trouble or not. That's my get out of jail free card. Or hey.
At the end of the day, I'd rather see the guy that I rooted for 20 years win another one than the guy who has probably the best chance to actually catch him. You know? True. So, let's move on to another news story that came down, a little bit more minor, but the other Josh Allen. John Thomas's favorite team, the Jaguars, our former guest, Josh Allen, now known as Josh Hines Allen. Okay. Now, we're not talking about the quarterback for the stupid Buffalo team up there in Western New York. All right. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the pass rusher for the Jacksonville Jaguars, probably their best defensive player. And he changed his name to Josh Hines Allen. He says in order to honor his maternal side of his heritage, which totally respect that. He has two sisters that are professional basketball players that go by that name as well. But Hogan, you have a different opinion on this as to why he did it. Curious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. He just doesn't want to be the other Josh Allen. It's as simple as that. I mean, if my name was fucking Patrick Mahomes, of course I'm changing my name because everybody's going to be like, you're not Patrick Mahomes. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. But at the end of the day, I think he's still, like you said, he's considered probably Jacksonville's best defender. The fact that he had 17 and a half sacks last season, we looked that up before we started recording and I was blown away. Like, I knew he was a decent player and I know he was drafted really high. And it just, the fact that he had that many blew me away because think about a couple of years ago before the 17 game schedule and everything, that's leading the league certain years in the NFL, and that's massive. So, and we've seen him play a little bit when we do their play Jacksonville, or you know, I caught some Jacksonville games. He's not bad by any means. So, no, I just like giving him crap though because it's Jacksonville. Obviously, my Trevor Lawrence fandom like buddies down there. I gotta say hi to all you guys, and please don't come after me. I'm not talking shit this time. I'm laughing at the fact that Josh Allen had to change his name so he's not known as Josh Allen anymore. That's all I'm saying. That's all. He's still a hell of a player. I would take him on the Patriots, okay? I'm not saying he's a bad player. Don't come after me. He's a great player. He's just full of baloney with the way he's changing his name because he doesn't want to be known as the other Josh Allen.
I forget what year it was, but it was the year that I think Jacksonville beat Buffalo, and he had a monster game. I think he sacked Josh Allen like twice and maybe forced a fumble as well. And it was just great. I was like, I love Josh Allen. I was just saying that. I love Josh Allen.
I think that was actually,
talking about that stupid quarterback.
I think that was when Urban Meyer was there. It was Trevor Lawrence's first year with Jacksonville. Yeah, with Jacksonville. And I think Buffalo was like favored by like 20 points or something stupid. And Jacksonville beat Buffalo like 6-0 or something stupid.
Yeah, it was
stupid.
Something like that. It was something
I remember watching that game because Josh Allen picked off the other Josh Allen. See? Yeah, there we go. The other Josh Allen. I'm referring to the Buffalo clown as the other one. So there you
go. Bingo.
Josh Hines Allen now. He did have a massive game in that. I remember it was a good game to watch because Jacksonville, I think, hadn't won a game. Either they won one game or they were winless at that point. And to see them knock off Buffalo when Buffalo was like, we're the best ever. It was like, okay, hell yeah. I'll root for this team.
It was an awesome moment.
I know you enjoyed it. I know you enjoyed it.
Josh Hines Allen gained a massive fan after that day. Right here.
Of course. But yeah, no, best of luck to him. I hope the name change goes well and that, you know, he has another monster year down there because, like I said, watching good defensive ends always makes a game 10 times better to watch. I mean, I want to see Strahan's record, or I'm sorry, Strahan and Watt's record shattered at some point because it's just we're due for some monster defensive end. I mean, especially with the talent that's over the last, I would say, decade or so, from like Jadeveon Clowney to TJ Watt to even JJ Watt. And hey, even a guy that we got, Judon. I was going to say, I'm blanking on his name there for a second. I blanked for a second just because he was hurt for most of last year. But like Judon, you know, seeing him just take off would be awesome to see him, you know, push that record or whatever. Just, you know, records are made to be broken. And I want to see bigger, better stats. I want to see these guys just dominate and make football fun in that aspect again, because it's always great to see that shit, you know?
Yeah, the whole record, now that they've added the game, I'm always kind of just like, I'm going to be one of those grumpy old men right now. Like, it's not the same. Like, somebody breaks Strahan's record, whatever Strahan did was far more impressive than what the record breaker would do, because he did it in less games, especially if it's close. If it's blown out of the water, that's different, because one game doesn't make that big of a difference. But if somebody beats him by like one sack, I'm like, okay, like, cool. It was the same thing when Tyreek Hill was going for the 2,000 yards. Was it last year?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. Like, if he gets it in 16 or less, awesome. I'm in on that. But if you do it in the 17th game, okay. Like,
yeah,
it's great. It's a great accomplishment. I don't want to sound like I'm taking away from it, but it's not the same. It was 16 games for what? 50 years, 40 years, something like that. Didn't they change that in like the 70s?
Well, it was what? It was originally like 12 at one point. Then they went to 14. And then it went to 16. I want to say sometime in the 80s, actually, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But there was also shortened striking seasons and all that. But
yeah,
I mean, the big thing too, at the end of the day, is, you know, Strahan's records always come under scrutiny as well, because if you look at the final sack that he got to break
half
the record,
sack.
That was Favre just like letting up and being like, oh, congratulations, Michael, because they were like BFFs, like off the field, and it's like, kind of a question mark there, you know what I mean? So I don't mind it as much, because it's not like I'm butthurt that Strahan has the record anyway. I despise the fucking Giants, and I hate him for 07 again and again and again and again. So I'm more than okay to see his record get destroyed. But like I said, I just think it would be fun to see the record get shattered, because there's too much talent and too much, you know, amazing athleticism that's coming up that's going to push it, especially with the more games at this point. I'm just surprised, honestly, if we're talking about records at this point, I'm shocked that Peyton's record hasn't come close to being touched, especially with a talent like Mahomes. If there's anybody, his first year in the league, that or his first starting year in the league, 50 touchdowns.
Todd Brady. I mean,
tied Brady's original record from 07, and that was still, I want to say, with 16 games. I don't think they were at 17 yet when Mahomes did that, unless I'm mistaken. But I figured if anybody was going to have a chance to shatter Peyton's record, it would have been Mahomes. But again, the talent has slowly left Kansas City with Tyreek Hill. I mean, Tyreek Hill made a lot of things a lot easier. He still got Travis Kelce. It'll be interesting to see how the guys that are going to be catching balls from him this year are going to pan out. Because, I mean, obviously you got my boy Xavier Worthy, who is a speedster. He was more talented, I would say, at returns than he was as a receiver. He was still dangerous as a receiver, don't get me wrong, but he was a very, very strong return guy. Kelsey's not getting any younger. And then obviously the whole shenanigans with Rice and, you know, his whole, who knows if he's going to be suspended or not. So
now who knows if Kansas City's even going to put a team on the field this year with all the problems they've been having this offseason.
Right. That's the big question. I mean, I'm okay with them not fielding a team because I hate Kansas City right now. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't stand specifically Kelce. I just can't stand Kelce more than anybody. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Kansas City. I'm not gonna stress about it until the season starts. Well, I'm not gonna stress about anything when the season starts because I know the Patriots aren't gonna win more than like three games. So my expectations are already in the gutter as it is.
Well, that's a good segue right there. We're going to get in and talk about our divisional breakdown for the week. We were slated to have a couple of guests. Scheduling conflicts prevented that from happening. We will be reconnecting with our scheduled guests at some point later in the off season. So stay tuned for that. We'll have a little bit more AFC East talk then. But for now, you're going to get our takes on the AFC East. We'll start with our boys, like you just brought up, the New England Patriots. I'm kind of like you. I don't have any expectations for this season. I really don't. I am more so concerned with them actually playing Drake May this year. I really don't want them to have to do that unless they are absolutely blown away by him in training camp. I don't see that happening. I think they want to be careful with how they approach this, seeing how Mac Jones went when he was put in right away. I think they want to be cautious with him there. That's obviously going to be the biggest thing that we're going to be watching this year is when does the Drake May era begin? I'm perfectly okay with Jacoby Brissett starting all 17 games for this team. See, I'm still doing 16 games in my head there.
Yeah, that happens.
I'm perfectly okay seeing that. The team still has an enormous amount of cap space that they have not used. So with that, like the offense, I'm curious to see what kind of scheme the scheme's going to look like with Alex Van Pelt, knowing there's going to be growing pains and everything. There's still not, I still believe there is a deficiency in talent on the offensive side of the ball. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I'm very excited to see about where the running game goes with Ramondre Stevenson. I also have a fantasy investment there that I really want to make sure that he's getting the rock. He did get signed to that contract extension this offseason, which was very good to see. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. Defensively, I'm expecting more of the same. I'm not expecting a whole lot of differences. I'm very excited to see what Christian Gonzalez does. Hopefully he can stay healthy this year and play a full season and really assert himself as that number one corner, kind of that leader on one of the leaders on that defense, I would say. Because, you know, after Judon, who they don't really have much, Duggar maybe, but again, you had a massive turnover on the leadership with the defense when guys like Devin McCourty left town and retired, Patrick Chung leaving. You know, I'm sure there's Lawrence Guy's not going to be there anymore, so he's another guy that was around for a while. So definitely going to be interested to see there. I want to get your thoughts on the Matthew Judon contract talk. I mean, there's some news that came out earlier this week about that. What's your take on that, Hogan?
I mean, personally, it's tough, right? On one hand, I'd love to see them lock up Judon for the long term and keep him around because I think he has been a tremendous positive influence on the team since joining us from Baltimore, which is funny because I was ridiculously nervous about him joining the team initially because the last time we signed a massive free agent from Baltimore was Adalius Thomas, and we all remember how horrific that ended up. But Judon has proven that he's worth the investment. That being said, at this point where I don't believe he's a young pup anymore, because he spent a good amount of time in Baltimore before he joined us.
He's over
30.
He's north of
30. He's not a young buck anymore. And the injury histories that he's had with last year, and then prior to that, I want to say it was his first year with New England that he was lighting it up, and we had that winning streak there with, like, you know, Mac Jones's rookie year. And then it was like when we had that losing skid towards the end of the year, Judon fell apart, or not so much fell apart. He disappeared. He disappeared. So, like I said, it's a difficult situation to judge without, you know, seeing him in practice, seeing him get his reps and everything, especially where we essentially only saw him for a handful of games last year. I'd love to see him be retained, but at the same time, if he walks away, I'm okay with it. Like I said, it's not the ideal situation, but I just look at the defensive side of the ball really quickly to touch on that. There's so much young promise that's coming up in the defense that solidified itself last year, where as terrible as the record was last year, the only reason why they were even in games was because of the defense and how well the defense played. I see that continuing to happen because obviously you have Christian Gonzalez hopefully coming back and being healthy. You got Christian Barmore locked up, and he's another player that I think he deserved the money, but it's also, I want to see more from him, or I want to see him dominate more games like he did against Denver in Christmas last year, because that dude was an animal in that Denver game. I think that's the reason he got his extension, was that Denver game alone. Like, he single-handedly won that game for them, as far as I'm concerned. Like,
he's going to be the next Vince Wilfork of that defense. I really hope he's that. I love that player too.
He needs to be, and I don't think he's there yet.
No.
I think he has the potential to be that, but like I said, there's a lot of promise on the defensive side of the ball, where they have a lot of young, talented guys that I want to see perform. I'm on the same sentiment as you with the offensive side of the ball. I want to see Jacoby play. I actually just wrote, if anybody out there is interested, just wrote a blog post about this over on midnightrideproductions.net, and on the written content side under Ice Cold Brewskis, I talk about the quarterback position, and I actually do a nice little throwback to Jacoby Brissett's first ever start in the NFL from 2016. I was at that game. So I won't go into detail here on the show, but if you're interested in that story, head over to the website, midnightrideproductions.net. Check out the written content. You'll find my blog in there where I talk about the quarterback position. But that being said, Jacoby Brissett all the way. Give me him. I think they need to go get some superstars in the skill positions and fortify that offensive line. We'll see. The offensive line is going to be their bread and butter this year, like you talked about the running game. I know they got a couple of guys in the draft. They signed a few free agents, and they re-signed Owenue or whatever. I can never remember the names. They always get me. But anyway, we'll see if that is going to be successful for them, because I think that's what deteriorated over the time that Mac Jones was here and everything, and that's what led to the downfall as quickly as it did, because, like I said, you put Brady in that situation, I don't think he's going to do much better than Mac did at that point, because he had no time to throw, and it was just, don't put a young quarterback in that situation, and hopefully they don't do the Drake May. We'll see.
Yeah, that's how you get a quarterback to get the yips. Got the yips, and he starts hearing footsteps before they're even close to him. Regarding Judon, I think it's necessary that they bring him back and they pay him. Specifically, A, they have the space to do it, and I know that they're being fiscally responsible with the cap. Whatever. Like, that's what they want to do. I understand this year is a transition year. So be it. Whatever. But he is, like, the leader on the defense right now. He is that guy. And he converted a lot of his money into a signing bonus to next year and added the year on to help the team out last year or the year before. So he's, I think, only slated to make like $6 million this year, which is vastly underpaid for what he is. I know he's coming off an injury that should have never happened, because they were getting blown out in that game and he should have never even been on the field at that point.
Agreed.
But I think they need to pay him a substantial amount. I'm okay committing a couple of more years to him. You know, I know he's getting up there in age. I do share the concerns that you have, though, because each year that he's been healthy for the Patriots, he's been like shot out of a cannon out of the gate of the season. And by the end, it's like he disappears. He's nowhere to be found. We're like, I don't know if he gets tired or if he starts battling the injuries and they take a toll on him or what, but it does. It is like he just dips in crunch time. And that's part of the reason why I think that, what was it, not last year, the year before, they ended up missing the playoffs when they were in the hunt. When they ended up missing in the last game of the season against Buffalo in game.
Yeah.
Kickoff returns for touchdowns in that game. Like, yeah, that was not a fun game to watch. But in the end, I think he's necessary, you know, for the culture to be paid and kept there. I think it's more of a culture thing than an on the field thing at that point. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, the reports are that they're not close. Patriots made him an offer, and they're not close. So we'll see what happens. If it's not resolved in the next couple of weeks, I don't expect to see him hold in, as they call it, in quotes there, the hold in, where he's there, but he's not practicing. He's essentially holding out for a contract. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
I'm curious real quick. I'm curious, do you think that he would be more valuable to the team if they had a complimentary guy on the other side of him?
I'm sure that would help.
Because they have Josh, they re-signed Josh Uche, right? So, like, if he breaks out of his shell and actually becomes the guy that everybody seems to think that he's supposed to be, this wonder kid stud defensive end that we keep being told about that has not shown it yet, that will certainly help me being like, okay, we need to retain Judon if he can pull some of that pressure on the opposing offensive line away from him to like open him up to make more plays like that. I mean, at the end of the day, that only helps. I mean, you look at like guys like the Chargers, right, where you have Khalil Mack on one side and Bosa on the other. Like, that's a dream team to have right there. Granted, it didn't work out last year because that team was a hot mess to begin with. Coach. But like, I will still take a Bosa Mack combination over a Judon Uche combination any day. That's just
right. And until Uche shows something more.
Exactly.
He kind of had a little bit of a breakout last year. I know everybody was surprised when he wasn't traded at the deadline.
Yeah.
So then bringing him back was good. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, if Barmore again takes another step forward, did it kind of clog up the interior of that line? You know, it could work and take some of the pressure off Judon. When Judon's your only guy getting pressure, it's easy to double team him and account for him on that offensive line when you can single up against everybody else and not have any problems and give your quarterback all day to throw. So
exactly.
Be interesting to see, but I want to move on to the rest of the division. I want to start with that trash bag team in Western New York. I love this offseason for the Buffalo Bills. It almost felt like, I'm not going to get ahead of myself and say the window is closed, but they took a step back and in terms of talent and on paper this offseason with, you know, losing guys like Jordan Poyer, Stephon Diggs is no longer there. Gabe Davis is no longer there. So you have Josh Allen, you know, he's got, I think Dawson Knox is still there and he has Dalton Kincaid is the other tight end there to throw to, but he's got a new complement of receivers up there. They drafted a kid, Keon Coleman, hoping that he can kind of fill some of the void left by Diggs. Diggs wasn't really all that great down the stretch for the Bills last year. I think the rift and everything, the diva wide receiver started to show itself towards the end there with Josh Allen and him arguing on the sidelines all the time. I was here for it. That was great theater. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But their team that they're a playoff team in my opinion. I think they're going to be a wild card. I don't think that they're going to win the division this year. I think this is the year they get unseated in that, at the top of the division. I think they've lost too much. This would be what they would call a retool year up there, where they're trying to reset the roster for the next run at it. Who knows if it'll be successful or not? We'll have to see. Josh Allen can, you know, do so much with his legs and he's got a wicked arm, but if he's got no one catching the ball or, you know, his offensive line's not holding up, all that stuff, look out. I'm here for it. I want to watch this thing fall down, as we say in Unchained, to the bottom. Or chained together, not unchained. Chained together.
Chained to
the bottom. Yeah. But yeah, I'm curious your thoughts on Buffalo.
Yeah, I so obviously I don't share the same hatred for them that you obviously love to display on a weekly basis on this show. However, however, I do think that they'll be okay. I don't think they'll be as, you know, dangerous as they have been the last four or five seasons, I would say. I do think Josh Allen is probably top five quarterback in the league right now. If you look at the talent pool that's in the current NFL, he still makes a lot of goofy and dumb decision making with either his legs or his arm once in a while in a game. I mean, the guy's great for four. I had him in fantasy last year. He was great for four or five touchdowns, but he was always great for at least one interception a game or more. I mean, that's just his MO. That being said, I do like James Cook. James Cook. I think he had a nice little breakout year last year as a running back for them. I think he's going to take a couple more steps going forward. They're going to have to rely on him, especially with their top two receivers skipping town. However, I'm curious to see. I think it was Curtis Samuel came over from the Commanders that's going to be playing with them. And I thought they signed somebody else, but I could be mistaken. But I know Curtis Samuel was the eyebrow raising one that I saw, where he hasn't been terrible for the Commanders as long as he's played there for. And then the tight ends, like you said, Knox doesn't do anything great for me, but Kincaid, I think, is definitely going to.
They have Chase Claypool as well. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
So that was the one that I kind of, I was interested in because obviously coming over from Kansas City, that'll be, well, Green Bay and then Kansas City. So we played with a couple of really good quarterbacks before Josh Allen. So hopefully that'll be a good fit for them if they because they're going to need that. But Chick Claypool, I don't think he'll be on the roster. I think my feelings on Claypool have been more than tracked on this podcast at this point, where I think the guy's the biggest clown in the NFL, one of the biggest clowns. Defensively, like you said, Poyer leaving doesn't help anything. I don't know if they still have Micah Hyde there. If they do, is he gone? Yeah, see, I'm at the point now where I think the only guy left on the defense that I truly know is Von Miller, and the guy got paid like $18 million for zero sacks last year. So if
they still have guys like Greg Russo, Ed Oliver, AJ Epinesa, Matt Milano was pretty good for a bit, but those guys get hurt. They get hurt a lot.
And yeah. Like I said, it doesn't turn the needle for me anymore. The defense used to be dominant. It used to be scary. Like, I still think that going to Buffalo and playing in Buffalo is going to be difficult and challenging, especially with Bills Mafia, you know, jumping through tables up there. But at the same time, I think it's more so the weather and the conditions that you have to deal with when you go up to Buffalo. But they're not going to be the powerhouse that they've been. I see them currently probably finishing second in the division, possibly third, depending on the New York Jets. Do we want to talk about them next?
Go for it. Take it away.
Okay. All right. Well, I won't beat the horse to death like we did last time with Aaron Rodgers. We bashed him plenty last week, Manish and I.
I'm so mad I missed it.
It was a good old time talking about him going to Egypt and being a putrid leader of that team. So at the end of the day, the Jets, I'm on record as saying I think they have one of the best defenses in the league currently. They're young studs everywhere. Sauce Gardner is one of the best in the league. That defensive tackle, I can never remember his name. He's a funny bastard. He was the one that sneezed in his like press conference and he blessed himself. I laugh every time I see that.
Who that was?
Not Wilkins. I can't remember his name. But either way, he's they got a bunch of young studs that just know how to play.
Quinnen Williams.
Yeah. They know how to play good defensive ball with the Jets. And there's always a reason why they're in games because of their defense as well. Offensively, obviously the big joke and the big stigma is going to be about Rodgers playing more than four snaps this year. If he does, it's going to be fascinating to see how he comes back from that injury in the first place. But then on top of that too, how is he going to mesh with guys like Garrett Wilson? Is Lazard still there? I think Lazard's still there. I don't think Cobb is anymore. So, like I said, it used to be the old Green Bay Packers. You would think I would know it at this point, but they'll be an interesting team to watch. And I think we're going to have our eyes opened very, very wide in week one when they play San Francisco. That'll be the big test. Because I think if San Francisco wipes the floor with them, and Rodgers is a shell of himself. I think we're going to get a preview of what the upcoming year is going to be like for the Jets. But if they battle hard and they're able to go toe-to-toe with 49ers and, hell, even beat them, I'm going to be the first one to be like, okay, they're a team. We'll see what they were able to do this year, and they'll absolutely have every right to go for the division if they can make it that far.
Absolutely. I'll echo your sentiments about their defense. They are loaded with talent. Quinton Williams and Sauce Gardner are some of the better players that I enjoy watching. And it sucks for me to say that as a Patriots fan that really doesn't like the Jets. I don't despise them, I don't think, as much as you do, because they're so poverty and they haven't won in 50, almost 60 years, that it's like, whatever. I have more fun with Buffalo for personal reasons. But offensively, like you said, the stuff with Aaron Rodgers is going to be front and center. Too much talent on that offense to, even for an old guy like Aaron Rodgers, to not be able to find receivers. And, you know, Breece Hall out of the backfield, you got Garrett Wilson. The concern for me with the Jets offense is their tackle position. Signed a couple of old guys in Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses. They did draft Olu Fashanu, a left tackle. So we'll see. I assume that Tyron Smith will get hurt at some point and that he will be playing. So it'll be interesting to see how the offensive line comes together, because as we know, we're Between the Tackles podcast, your offense is only as good as your offensive line can protect, whether it's in the run game or in the pass game. So that's more of a, I think, more of a question mark for me than Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers, he's over 40. Like, yeah, he tore his Achilles. If he can throw the ball effectively, he's going to be fine. If he's mobility and stuff, probably not going to be there anyways, regardless of whether he got hurt or not. I like their prospects. I really do. I really like what they are going to possibly be able to do this year. Last year going into the season, I felt that the AFC East could be one of the most competitive divisions in the league, given how close, you know, with teams could be. You had the Patriots just missing the playoffs. You had all the hype surrounding the Jets, and then the Dolphins were the Dolphins and the Bills were the Bills. So obviously it didn't play out that way. The Patriots were way worse than I ever expected them to be. And then we all know what happened 4 plays in for the Jets. In terms of your measuring stick with the 49ers in week one, I agree to that to a point, but it is the first week of the season. And we, as Patriots fans, know that it's treated almost like an extension of the preseason where, you know, yeah, you're lining up, you're playing real NFL football, but you're not in the groove of the season yet. So if they come out and they look like crap, I'm not going to throw red flags up yet, unless there's, like, again, 4 plays in, a major injury that could remove a star player. Like if Garrett Wilson or Breece Hall or, hell, Rodgers or Sauce Gardner get hurt and they're lost for the season, yeah, you're going to have some really red flags pop up. But other than that, a good battle and a loss, they're going to be right there. They're going to be right there, in my opinion. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Aaron Rodgers is always a mental case, so you never know what you're going to get with him.
Very true. I just, like I said, for me personally, take away the injuries, I think if they come out and the 49ers don't miss a beat with, like, the way that they went through last year, we know that they're a Super Bowl contender. That's just who they are.
Super Bowl loser. They're going to go to the Super Bowl lose again.
Probably. But I just, like I said, even though it's week one, I think it's more so Robert Saleh has the one that has everything to prove at this point, because he has the team. If nobody gets hurt, let's, like, in a vacuum, let's hypothetically say nobody, no injuries. You hyped up this New York Jet team last year, which is supposed to be even better now, or whatever you want to call it. It's supposed to be a Super Bowl contender team. And if you can't compete or beat another Super Bowl contender team, I don't care if it's week one or if it's week 17, it's going to tell me all I need to know about this Jets team. Because if Saleh doesn't have them ready to play, I mean, like you said, with the Patriots, yeah, they considered week one an extension of the preseason. That was a Belichick special. Everybody else came out of the gate firing on all cylinders. I don't see the Jets being that type of team. But again, I see them being competitive if everything holds true with injuries and whatnot. So,
yeah. Well, let's move on to the fourth team of the division. In my opinion, another guy that a coach that could have a little bit of a microscope on him, that's Mike McDaniel with the Dolphins. Again, they are loaded with talent. This team is loaded with talent, you know, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, but even defensively. Like, you have Tua. Tua's Tua. Like, we all have our opinions about Tua and him getting a contract and all this and that. But he's throwing to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. They added Odell Beckham. Maybe know what Odell Beckham is. He's probably a shell of himself at this point. He's older. He's bounced around quite a bit. Yep. They got a lot of talent on the offensive line. Defensively, they add Jordan Poyer from the Bills. Solid safety. They have Jalen Ramsey, one of the best corners in the league back there. Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb.
He's good. Yeah, they're all good. Yeah.
Like, there's pressure on this team to perform, especially it will fall on the coach more, especially if Tua gets that contract. Because then you're like, you're committing to your quarterback. It's not going to be there. You're not going to change the quarterback at that point. You're committing to him. So the Dolphins also have had stretches where they've looked lights out. Like last year, they came out of the gate, man. They were, what did they put up, 73 on Baltimore in that game? Something like that?
70 on Denver.
Denver. And then they went toe-to-toe with Baltimore, right? It was a shootout.
I believe so.
It was like no defense played in that game.
Yeah.
So the Wiz kid got to get over that hump. Make some noise in the playoffs. Win a playoff game, for crying out loud. And do something. Otherwise, for me, like, it's like, okay, have you reached your ceiling with Mike McDaniel? With all this talent and money invested in these skill positions where they've hit on all these free agent signings and trades and draft picks. At some point, you look at the coach, like we were talking with the Jets. I wouldn't put Mike McDaniel on the same level as Robert Saleh, but might have to start looking at it. What do you think about the Dolphins?
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I mean, I'm on record as I picked the Dolphins to actually go to Kansas City and upset the Chiefs last year because I thought they were good enough to do so. They, like you said, they have too much talent on that team to be as inept as they are at certain times. I mean, I get everybody plays down once in a while, but like it's the Dolphins MO at this point where they make the playoffs and they do nothing in the first round. I don't understand it. And maybe it's Tua, maybe it's the defense. I mean, I know they got some injuries towards the end of the year last year. And I think for me personally, the receiving core, I look at Waddle and Tyreek as probably one and two as the best receivers, like duo in the league right now. Adding Odell, if it was 10 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, that's phenomenal. But again, it's also, you have one football to throw around. So you can't make everybody happy all the time. And everybody knows Waddle broke the record, I think, his rookie year with how many catches he had. He had like over 117 catches or something stupid his rookie year. And then Tyreek joins the team and Tyreek needs the ball to get 2,000 yards. And then you're going to have Odell kicking, you know, nets on the sideline if he's not getting what he's supposed to be getting. I remember that.
That was hilarious.
But like, that's my thing, right? Like, and then you look at the running back situation, Raheem Mostert, and then they have that
Devon Achane.
They're running backs that they have all this talent. Only one guy gets the ball per play. That's the thing that it always comes down to. So can they keep all those mouths full? And then at the same time, will it transition into long-term success throughout the year? Of course, injuries always play a major part in everything. But as of right now, if gun to my head, as you put it earlier, I'm taking Miami to get over the hump and win the division this year because Buffalo's taking a step back. The Jets, I think, are going to be decent. I think they're going to be competitive. I can't see them being better than Miami. It's going to be a great football when the Jets and Dolphins meet. I can tell you that. I'm excited to actually watch those matchups, which, give me 10 years ago, I would have been like, what the hell kind of crack am I smoking watching a Jets and Dolphins game with excitement? But yeah, I think Miami, you know, takes that step, goes forward. Tua's got a lot to prove. McDaniels has a lot to prove. And I think if there's any year that they're primed and poised to do what they need to do, it's this year to take advantage of it.
You know who's going to be an all-star Pro Bowler on that offense. Tight end number one, Jonnu Smith.
He's with Miami? Oh my God, I missed that. I thought he was still with Atlanta.
I was so bummed when he didn't work out with New England. I was beating down the door to sign him day one. I loved what that guy could bring, the athleticism and everything. Well, obviously, it didn't work out here. But yeah, he is their tight end right now.
Gross.
You know, I got to think when Odell signed there, you have to know, like, you're the third option. Like, you're going to the team with the best duo in the league. You're not stupid. Like, he chose to go there at the end of the day. Like, I'm sure he could have gone to another team and they would have paid him. You know, similar to what he got in Miami. He probably would have had more of a chance to be a, you know, get more targets, get more catches, all that. I think he's past that point in his career where he's maybe not looking for that. But at the same time, if he's not getting anything, he's a diva. He's one of the divas. He'll still speak up and say something. Like,
that's what I mean. Is if you look back to last year, he signed with Baltimore, right? After, I think he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl the year prior when he played with the Rams. Mm-hmm. Took the year off. He didn't sign with anybody because of the ACL and everything else. He signs with Baltimore. And you go to a running quarterback like Lamar, where, yeah, Odell had catches and he did a couple things, but like it was more so that rookie there for Baltimore from BC, Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers. And then I think they had another guy that kind of broke out last year.
Rashad Bateman was okay. He was okay.
Yeah. But they're the one and two guys.
It was the tight ends in Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, it's kind of an interesting choice for Odell to go from Matthew Stafford, a pocket passer who, you know, Odell was clearly the number two guy behind Cooper Kupp out there at the Rams, right? To go from passing quarterbacks to go to Lamar, who was clearly a run first guy. And now Tua, who the sentiment around the league is, yeah, he's not bad, but is he also the guy to win the game for you? Not really, because we haven't seen it yet. So, and then, like you said, to be the third option behind a Tyreek or a Waddle, like, I'm not trying to throw to an ancient Odell Beckham at this point, because like I said, he's not a young pup anymore either. So
still a pretty good third option, though.
No, not bad. But like, would I want him on the Patriots? Not really, because it's just I'd rather get a younger guy that we could develop and become like another Jacoby or something like that. You know what I mean? Jacoby Myers. But
that's more of a, you know, where the team is at. Like, the Patriots wouldn't have wanted him. I wouldn't have wanted him this year. No way. But 5 years ago when Brady was still here, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would have taken him. True. But at the end of the day, let's move on to predictions for the division. I'm kind of there with you. I have the Dolphins also at number one. I have them getting over the hump and winning the division this year, basically for the reasons that you already outlined. I have the Bills second right now, and in the playoffs as a wild card. Would not shock me if everything clicks in New York if the Jets supersede them and the Bills finish third in the division. I think we all agree that the Patriots are going to be the fourth team. I think that's pretty obvious right now, unless, of course, Drake May all of a sudden turns into Tom Brady incarnate and comes out and is all of a sudden taking the league by storm, which none of us expect to happen. So, but yeah, I have Miami, Buffalo, New York, New England, with the caveat that if everything clicks in New York could leapfrog Buffalo. How about you?
I got Miami at number one, I think, honestly. Give me New York Jets at number two. And then give me Buffalo to take a big step back this year. I think, like I said, they're still going to be competitive. I still think they're going to be okay. I'm not going to want to play them. I think they take a bigger step back than they realize with the decisions they've made and the players that they, you know, signed to the stupid deals that they did. Like I said, your Von Millers. Give me Buffalo at three, and then give me the Patriots, unfortunately, at number four. But I'm okay with it, because if we're picking in the top five of the draft next year, that's a win in my book, baby.
I'll still be rooting for them to win a division every week, no matter what.
If they're out of it within like the first, I would say, 8 or 9 weeks of the season, and they have like one or two wins, tank. I am going to be a tank fanatic. I'm going to be a bigger tank fanatic than I was last year. Like I said, I'm surprised you didn't hear me screaming from my house Christmas Eve when they beat goddamn Denver on that last second field goal. I was the number one Chad Ryland hater for like a full week because of that. I'm going, you motherfucker. fucker. You just cost us potentially the number one pick. I hate you more than any other kicker that I've ever hated in my life. And I was a, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I didn't have that anger. I was more like, I was watching that and like, I was just like, he actually hit that. That wasn't an easy kick to make either. And he actually drilled it. The one kick that everybody wanted him to miss, he nailed.
Fucking unreal.
I loved it. I was like, let's go. They won a game. Let's go. I was pumped.
No.
Again, I don't care.
At that moment, that was what their third win of the year?
Yeah. In that moment, I didn't care. In April, yeah, I was like, I still would have probably preferred Drake May at the end of the day. But, like, they weren't getting number one, so.
Is Chad Ryland still our kicker?
Yes. I believe that he is still
the kicker. Actually, I should not be disappointed because he's probably going to cost us at least two or three games this year with missing.
They did bring in Joey Sly. They did bring in Joey Sly to compete in camp. So he could take the job. You could be actually having a legit NFL kicker in there.
I'm not going to hold my breath. I'll actually, like I said, now that I think about it, I'll root for Ryland to get the job so he can lose us some more games. That way we're picking high in the draft again next year. As long as he doesn't make any miraculous last second kicks like he did against Denver, I can't deal with that again. I'll lose my shit.
Yeah. Anyways, I think we're pretty aligned. I'm hoping for your scenario where the Bills finish third, take that massive setback. I don't see it yet, but I reserve the right to change my prediction as the season goes on. We're doing a podcast today. I'm going to sound like Mike Felger right now. We're doing a podcast today, July 10th. This is how I see it. August 10th, I may see it differently. And you can't come at me for that. You can't. In fact, let the Buffalo Bills fan come at me. I don't give a crap. I couldn't care less. I could not care less if they come at me. I hope that team goes 0-6-17. I hope they go 0-17. It won't happen, but I hope it happens at the end of the day. That's all I got for this week's episode. You got anything else you want to touch on before we plug this sucker up?
No, just be careful with all the smack talk about Josh Allen. Those guys down in Jacksonville might think you're talking about their Josh Allen. So be careful. They'll come after you, as I know.
Hines Allen, and I'm on record on this podcast saying
I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to
come at me. Let the Jacksonville fans come at me. If they really want to start an argument, I'll start trolling. I don't care.
Be careful what you wish for, man. They came after me, and I learned my lesson.
Is this what it's come to with us, man? Is this what it's come to with us as football fans? We're arguing about two poverty franchises that have not won a single thing. That's what we are doing right now.
Wow.
Two poverty franchises.
I hope it clips this for our clips this week. I can't wait for you to get smoked by so many fan bases now.
Until they win something, both the Buffalo Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars are poverty franchises. Yes, my New England Patriots right now, at the state of their team, are a poverty franchise. I am not afraid to call out my own team either. But don't sit here and act like you've won something. Especially you Buffalo fans. Like, I'm talking more so to you, like, when I'm going through this right now. Jacksonville, I'm only taking the bait because he tossed up a, what do they call those pitches? The neatest pitch, right over the plate for me. Lobbed it right up. It's the only reason I'm talking about Jacksonville right now. Buffalo, don't even start talking to me, man. You guys haven't won jack squat. All right? Henry. There's going to be plenty more of that on this podcast as it comes. If anybody's even still listening at this point, we're over an hour in.
Oh, they better be.
If you're still listening, Buffalo fans, man, my DMs are open. My Twitter's open. Come and get me, man. Try. Just
get
try.
Em. Get them.
Just try.
Oh, I'd love it.
I don't hate any team. I don't. Mr. Hogan over here hates the New York Giants with a passion because of the Super Bowl losses. There is no team in the NFL I hate more than Buffalo. Ever. It will never change. That will never, ever change. Ever.
Actually, now that I think about it, that'd actually be a good top five list for us for our BTT GOATs to make a comeback, or top five hated franchises. Because I had a list there for a long time.
Buffalo.
That's it. We know you're number one.
No.
My constantly changed throughout the years, depending on the relevance of what teams were knocking us off. And I had Miami on that list for a while there, too. So I hated Miami because they always snuck up on you when you least expected it. And they always fucked up everything. I couldn't stand Miami back during the pinnacle of the dynasty with that stuff. But the Jets were up there. The Jets and the Dolphins.
Save it.
But Bills are Bills. I just had sympathy for them because they suck so much for so long. Boy, I love losing Super Bowls. Sorry, Bills fans.
There's your teaser for a coming episode. We'll be sure to announce it. Our top five most hated NFL franchise. That's a great topic. I look forward to talking about that one. I'm just going to be like, yep, number five is this, number four is this, number three is this, number two is this. Number one, I effing hate you. I hate you with an undying passion. You could say you live rent-free in my head. I don't care.
Patriots, I should pick
Patriots still live rent-free in your head and they suck. That's how bad it is.
I should pick Jacksonville as my number one just to troll all them down there again. I won't, but I could do it just to be a bastard.
Anyways, before we go off the rails anymore, well, stay tuned for that breakdown. It's coming. But as always, I'm Burge with my nemesis here, Hogan. Thank you again for tuning in to episode 37 or episode 2, depending how you want to look at it, of Between the Tackles podcast. Get at us on our socials and let us know what you think. Have you any thoughts on the AFC East? We're here to talk about it. Until next week, enjoy.
Peace. Later.